Welcome to another Ask the Experts event designed for the busy person with a passion for learning. Can't take time off from work to travel to a special seminar? No problem. Now you can join the crowd using teleseminars, seminars by phone in the comfort of your home. This is Carol Kepler, your host, for the very next 60 minutes where you will be introduced to an amazing lady with a story of how a very special kind of yoga she used to save her life. So put your phone on speaker, lean back, and enjoy our guest tonight, Alma Estefano, online from Tempe, Arizona. Fascinating woman who looks so great that you would have to have a hard time believing that she's 65 years old. I'm going to let you hear the secret of her great body. Alma Estefano, thank you for being here with us tonight.
Thank you, Carol. Well, it's always a joy to be able to be part of this wonderful journey to wellness and wholeness so that we can live a joyful and peaceful life.
And it is a journey.
It is a journey, and it is a daily process.
Actually, someone told me once, I had read it. I think it was Dr. Carolyn Mace, who said that life was a journey, and I thought perhaps there was a destination there someplace, and I think that we have found it now. I'm calling it radical wellness, 100%. I think that we can work toward actually having a goal of radical wellness, and I think that you've gotten there, my dear.
Oh, well, thank you, Carol. Well, you know, as I said, I think it's a daily process for me because many years ago, when I was 20 years old, I started having a lot of problems with going through different traumatic experiences in my life, moving into this country when I was a young girl, and so I developed a problem with my nervous system. And when I first went to see the doctor, he put me on Valium. And
that was a bad one.
No idea about Valium, but I started taking Valium. And one of the things he said was that it was due to my nervous system not functioning well. At the time, I did not even know where my nervous system was, but I was very happy to get some kind of help. However, as my life continued to be divinely guided, I was introduced to yoga. And when I first was introduced to yoga was through an article in which it said there is a lecture on yoga, and yoga helps you with your nervous system.
That was a message to you.
I had no idea what yoga was at the time because I was brought up in Catholic boarding school. But I was very happy to know that whatever this was going to help me with my nervous system. And that's how my journey began. In having really been a very religious person and actually being excommunicated from the church at the time because I decided to marry a man who had been married in the church. That's one of the areas where my problems began.
Mm-hmm.
And so I moved from being a religious person into a finding my own spirituality, my own God within. And that journey has given me so much inner strength that I continue to move from being a victim into being a spiritual warrior, knowing that we are all divinely connected. We just need to find that connection within.
That's a beautiful story, and I had heard it before, and I'm enjoying hearing it again. And I don't know much about yoga myself, like you, when you first started I heard about yoga. And so I am going to find out more about it right now, tonight, from you. And I know a lot of people are feeling the same way as I. They might do it if they understood a little bit more about it. It's intriguing. And I was with you recently for a weekend. It was a workout at your home in Tempe, and you were teaching a very special kind of yoga that most people at your age could never do, I am sure. And it is called Kriya Yoga. How long have you been working with Kriya Yoga?
Well, it has been about 15 years that I was actually introduced formally to Kriya Yoga, because, believe it or not, my first yoga class that I ever attended was taught by a Kriya Yoga teacher, which I had no idea. But life, you know, has continued. When we are in the trusting mode, the angels are always guiding us. And so I was initiated into teaching Kriya Yoga about 15 years ago, and it has been a wonderful journey. I think the finding Kriya Yoga and using the old waters formulas have been a tremendous tremendous support on my journey.
And a good combination too. They work very well together, do they not?
Well, they do, and I'll tell you why. Yoga, the word yoga means the union of body, mind, and spirit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so it is the journey of balancing our body, our mind, our emotional, our intellectual, and our spiritual bodies. Because we cannot just concentrate on the body, or we cannot just concentrate on the mind, because we are emotional, spiritual beings. And so when any of us are being, part of our being is out of alignment, we are going to feel disconnected and there is going to be suffering.
No wonder I was thinking they work together so well, because the alt water formulas, water-based formulas, when people use them, drink them in their water every day, they work on five different levels. And listen to this. I say, you can't be well physically if you have problems at the levels of mental, spiritual, psychological, and emotional.
Exactly.
They all have to be in alignment. Is that not what you just said?
Exactly what I just said. And that's why the alt waters and yoga are so complementary to each other.
I love that. I never thought that one through.
Yes,
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, because the old waters work on the cellular level. But I think because life is, and we are constantly being bombarded by experiences,
mm-hmm.
by toxics.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, but life itself, our human, the part of our own humanity is always a part of our own learning process. And so how we deal with that and how we bring that into balance and alignment is the only way that we are going to be able to experience a joyful, peaceful, and wellness life, you know. And so for me, that has been the key. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be for everyone, but that is definitely has been for me. For me to get up in the morning and to prepare my formulas and to bless them, and I use the blessing technique, knowing that, you know, I now bring into every cell of my body, into my heart, my mind, my subconscious mind, light, love, and healing, and I accept the healing power of these formulas to cleanse, purify, nourish, strengthen, rejuvenate, and realign every cell of my body at all levels of my consciousness. And when that happens, it's like I just feel that divine connection, and then I drink those formulas, and I know that that alignment is taking place now in my life. And then I go about doing a little bit of my yoga, physical postures, which are very important to keep your temple strong, whether it's postures or any kind of exercise, you know, walking, weight, whatever it is that you can move and keep your body strong and healthy is very important, Because when we have an achy body, there's no way that our mind is going to be at peace. So then I also use the breathing techniques, which is part of Kriya Yoga, the asanas, the breathing techniques, which really help us to align with our emotional beingness. You know, there is a correlation between our breath and our emotional state. So if we learn how an emotional and psychological state, so if we learn how to breathe effectively, we are able to balance the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system.
And that breathing is more important than anyone knows. I think it was Dr. Paul Bragg's daughter who brought that out. She's a naturopathic physician and older now. But both Dr. Paul Bragg and his daughter have both said that no one knows how to breathe properly, and we take that for granted. And I'm thinking that a while back, probably about a year, I was a shallow breather, and when that was brought to my attention and that the thoracic duct in the middle of the chest it sometimes needs some repair, some work, we added those frequencies to the formula, and I found that I could breathe deeply. It was so refreshing. I can't even imagine that I hadn't been able to breathe properly for years. And I think it's Dr. Oz now that's talking about breathing from the diaphragm. Does your yoga breathing have, you know, how do you do that when you're talking about yoga? How do you teach that?
Well, actually, the breathing techniques that we teach in Kriya Yoga are very sophisticated and beautiful techniques. But the way that I teach to beginners is to place their hands, both of their hands, in their belly, and to begin to inhale, and as they inhale, they expand their abdomen. And as they exhale, they bring it back. And that is the beginning. And then a couple of breaths that way, and then the third breath, bring it into your rib cage for a couple of more breaths, and then the last few breaths into your shoulders and clavicle.
And what you're doing is you're making us aware of our breath,
and
because we aren't
that,
aware.
But what happens is that when we are shallow breathers, there is not enough oxygen that is brought to the lungs.
And to the brain.
And to the brain, absolutely, and to the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, filling a glass of water. It has to start from the bottom up.
Very good.
And that is how, if we begin to bring the prana, or the oxygen, at the level of the abdomen, and then we start bringing it all the way into rib cage, then at the time we start getting into our rib cage, we are able, the lungs are able to then take that oxygen and start then bringing it all around our bodies. But if we become shallow breathers, and a lot of people say, you know, you ask them, take a deep breath, and they just expand their chest.
That's true.
They remove their abdomen. There's no way that the body can have enough oxygen in. That is also what begins to deteriorate ourselves, our emotional, psychological state. And it is amazing. Just doing, you know, when I don't have enough time, just doing my breathing techniques in the morning, it just changes my perception and my way of feeling about myself and the world. So that when I go out into the world, my interaction with the world is coming from more inner peace, more centeredness, than it is when my body is, when my mind and body are going all over the place, and then I get out into the world, and then it continues to feed itself because of all the different kinds of stressors that we are faced with daily.
They say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead and finish.
And the part of being silent and being and taking time to go within is just as important, because just as we feed our physical body, we need to feed our emotional and spiritual bodies. You know, it's just part of that. And how we do that is through the exercise, whatever exercise you have, through the breath, conscious breathing, and through then peacefully calming the mind. You know, a few minutes of meditation makes such a big difference in every part of our beingness, in the way that we perceive and interact with life. We begin to then come more from love rather than fear, from acting rather than reacting. So that's what, and finding the techniques, finding the tools is very, very important, especially during these transformational periods that we are going through. Because these transformational periods have to do with taking responsibility and having an inner experience. And that is part of our own journey. How we are going to act in the world is going to make a lot of impact in our planet. So we need to come from centeredness and love so that we can then continue to project that into the planet and into everyone that we touch, the lives of.
The Kriya Yoga, is that one of the more ancient types of yoga?
Yes.
I know there are many, many varieties.
Yeah. Well, I think it is not only one of the most ancient, but it's also one of the most complete. Because usually when people hear about yoga, they think only about postures.
Ah, yes.
And they forget that postures are just a way to the entrance to higher, to our own consciousness, to go to that higher level of getting in touch with our emotional, intellectual, mental, and spiritual levels.
Can you explain that, the poses or the postures, a little bit for people who might not understand?
The postures, most of them are to be able to keep the spine flexible, so that every part of our nadis, which are channels of energy, can continue to be unblocked. And that is very, very significant also, because when we keep our nervous system healthy, which is where it runs through our spine,
mm-hmm.
we are able to then allow the energy to flow much easier through our bodies. And so by keeping our spine flexible, and the postures are about four forward bends and back bends, about stimulating the thyroid, stimulating different kinds of glands in our system so that they continue to better function. And there are 18 postures that we have, and, that is part of the tradition. However, there are many, there are over... I don't know, 1,000 postures being taught in yoga nowadays. So it's just a matter of choosing what's going to be the best practice of physical yoga for you that is going to be the best.
How would you know?
That is going to work for you and your body, because you have to adjust to your own limitations and then make the adjustment, and so that you can continue to allow the energy to flow through you.
Okay, how would you know? How do you know which is the best yoga? Can you name some of the types of yoga? I don't know many.
Absolutely. The physical part of the yoga, which is also leads into the spiritual part, there are many branches right now. One of them is the hot yoga, which is the Bikram, where it is done in a hot studio, very hot studio, with the idea that regardless of how hard the poses are, your body will not get hurt because your muscles are relaxed.
Uh-huh.
And they are done in a consecutive, I think there are about 23 or 24 poses that are being done
mm-hmm.
on a consecutive basis. So you do the same poses in the same way.
And it is, I have seen those studios.
It's a Bikram yoga, and it is a challenging, but it's very rewarding. Once you have being able to do them, it's like you feel, your body feels so alive and so re-energized.
Is that not done in a steamy atmosphere?
Yeah, it's done in a hot place, in a hot studio.
Dry heat?
Yeah, in the dry, yes.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are some people that cannot handle the heat.
Mm-hmm.
I am able to handle it, but there are a lot of people that are not able to do that. So if they're not able to do that, there is also the other part of it is called Anusara Yoga. Anusara Yoga is like Iyengar Yoga that teaches about the principles of alignment with the body, balance action, where it allows you to really be able to learn on holding the pose and repose in the pose when you have everything, every part of your being totally aligned, and you learn about how aligning and listening to your body. And that was actually created by Mr. Iyengar, those alignment principles and a lot of tools to help you to reach that alignment. And now we also have Anusara, which is a wonderful, I practice Anusara principles because I love how they have helped in my body, and they continue to help it, as it is a constant process of finding your proper alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is also the Ashtanga Yoga, which is a continuous movement of poses. And that is very good, providing that you know what you're doing, because yoga poses can be very therapeutic. However, if you don't know what you're doing and you're trying to copy your teacher, you can actually end up hurting yourself. So it's very important to find a yoga. For beginners, to find a gentle yoga, which is going to be very gentle in the poses. And as your body gets strengthened and you learn a little bit more about the principles of alignment, that then you start exploring other types of yoga. But we are talking mainly about setting up the foundation of your body, which is your temple. And when you know you have a strong temple, then when it is time to do your breathing and your meditation, you are at peace because your body and everything else is working. Your foundation is clear.
Can I ask you about Hatha Yoga, because that's the one I have heard of?
Yeah, that's the Hatha Yoga is the physical yoga. And then there is the Raja Yoga, which is the mental yoga, and there is the Karma Yoga, which is the yoga of service.
Oh, my.
There's Jnana Yoga, which is the yoga, the mental yoga. And the mental yoga is mainly practiced by people who don't want to do anything but mantras. The Karma Yoga is practiced by anybody who just wants to be of service. But to me, the pranayama, you know, the yoga of pranayama is your breathing, your breath. For me, Kriya Yoga has been the answer because it has been able to integrate every part of those branches. Through the physical, which is the hatha, through the emotional, which is through the breathing, through the mental, which is through the meditation. And there is also Bhakti Yoga, which is through devotion and chants. And that is also incorporated in this in this tradition.
Tell me about Kundalini Yoga.
Kundalini Yoga is mainly about postures and very heavy breathing. And that is so that when you're holding the posture, you're also integrating the breath. And it's very powerful breathing that they teach. And it's a very powerful tradition. This is why I think it is the beauty of having different kinds of branches of yoga, because then you get to choose what you feel is going to be the best that is going to work out for you. I did try the Kundalini Yoga for a while, but I found it to be too heavy for me. It is a beautiful, beautiful practice, and there are a lot of people who just find that to be not only very rewarding but extremely energizing.
When you were talking about the Kundalini Yoga, what we do in the work of helping people's body cleanse so that they can repair, people who have done Kundalini Yoga, we have noticed have a level of chaotic electric in their body that is damaging to their body. And I have said for years that I felt that Kundalini was too hot and heavy for us now at this time, and you're just echoing that thought of mine.
Absolutely. I think that it's, there are branches of yoga where people are called to, you know, and so when that happens and they feel that the body's functioning okay, then maybe maybe that's good for them. But when you start forcing that force, that's when I began to feel uncomfortable. And so, and it's interesting that you say that, because I think that the reason for that is because you start forcing the body rather than allowing the body.
That's a beautiful thought.
And so it's the same way, you know, as we begin to open all of the nadis around our bodies through our postures, through our breath, through our meditation, through our own thoughts of affirmations, of love, the nadis begin to get unblocked. And, you know, whenever there is a blockage in our body, it's what illness is about. There are people from China who actually, just by taking your pulse, will be able to find out through which nadi is or which nadis are the ones that are causing the blockages and in which organ is being affected. And they work on the acupuncture to release that blockage. But in yoga, we begin to do it on a daily basis. And then not only does it help when you have a holistic practice like Kriya Yoga, but also then having the old waters helps to continue to release the energy, the blocked energies, because you continue to cleanse your body at a very deep cellular level. So that is the reason why I have found that both of these practices of taking the formulas and doing yoga has been such a complementary experience for me.
I'm going to let you stop right there and hold that thought, because we need to take just a little time out here. Yes. We are not needing to remind our listeners that this is a whole new concept in education, a seminar by phone in the comfort of their home. Ask the Experts is brought to you by Altwaters Technology, manufacturers of the first system on the planet of frequency imprinted energy medicine formulas, medicine of the future that's here today. And we are doing this in partnership with Energy Medicine Foundation, a local 501c3. If you enjoy these free health and wellness events, you can thank our supporters by checking out their businesses online, and we have a list of them at altwaters.com. We are networking with each other to bring you these wonderful events where we get a chance to really dig in and find out more about some of the things that some great people are doing on this planet. You'll also find counter cards at these listings that are online. They are of our upcoming events, and we are probably about 4 or 5 months ahead, so you'll want to pick up one of those cards. Check online for the list of places where you can find the counter cards of events at altwaters.com. And we hope that you'll join us every month for the second Thursday event. Our show next month brings a powerful powerhouse of energy and ideas for helping our planet go green. Larry Adams is the founder of the new Green Healthcare USA. Within the next few days, you'll be able to pick up that information about the show at energymedicine.org. If you'd like to find other people, business or organizations of like-minded people, you'll want to catch Larry Adams on Ask the Experts on the second Thursday of next month. And now back to the show and our guest online from Tempe, Arizona, Alma Estefano. Alma, time's marching on, and I have so many more questions to ask of you. You have really filled me in on yoga. I didn't know enough about it, and I had just experienced it once at your home where you teach classes? You have the most beautiful space for people. How often do you have your classes?
Every two months, I have a seminar, which consists of teaching 18 postures, 6 breathing techniques, and 7 meditation techniques. And for each day of the week, there is a different breathing and meditation technique that is practiced, so that it is a very creative process, and it is very pleasant because it takes you out of the routine of doing the same thing every day.
And I experienced that. And one of the things that I got out of it was the meditation. I really didn't know how to meditate. I had always, you know, learned from books and other people and done it on my own. And with you guiding me through one of the meditations, I have to tell you this, one of the meditations gave me the way that I can put together the book that I needed to write, and I got it in that meditation. So it helped me so very, very much. So I've continued to do that, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate you for helping me get past that hump of what meditation is really all about.
Thank you, Carol.
And that's part of your of yoga in general, or just Kriya Yoga?
Kriya Yoga. I am also planning to start teaching some free yoga classes in my home, maybe once a week. And I think it's going to probably be on a Wednesday evening. But I need to put that in place starting in June. So I will send you some information about that to see if, you know, maybe you can also send some people just to start experiencing a little bit of the postures and also a little bit of just teaching beginners breathing, you know.
That would
be a little bit of breath and just a little bit of meditation, but studying it from a very basic foundation.
That would be good. It's kind of an introduction.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
People.
That would be like an introduction to start.
Unlike that.
People who really feel, you know, begin to feel connected with that practice to see if that would be something that would resonate for them.
Exciting. Very exciting. Good for you. You don't have enough to do, right?
Well,
yes, like the rest of us.
I love to teach and I love to be of service. And because my practice has done so much for me, I want to share that with other people who are interested.
I had an idea. You've just given me an idea. This would, I understand that yoga can be helpful for athletes.
Oh, yes.
Do you work with any athletes? I'm thinking what I have seen someplace is that it actually helps them with being a better athlete, for anyone who's in any physical kind of activity. And it doesn't seem to me that that would be possible. How do you see that working?
Well, I think for an athlete, it would be really wonderful because he would also continue to help center their emotional state and also their mind. And that would be extremely, extremely helpful and keep their body strong and flexible, because many times we gain a lot of strength, but we lose the flexibility. And interesting enough, this is why yoga is called a balance action of bringing in not only the male energy, which is the muscular, but the female energy, which is the organic. And that's where the female energy is, where you get the flexibility. And usually in athletics, people, they have a lot of muscular ability, but which is a lot of energy, a lot of muscular, but they don't have the feminine energy, which is the flexibility. And in India, the yoga postures actually were created for men to be done only by men. And the reason for that is because what they wanted to do was to just experience the female energy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this woman by the name of Indra Devi from Russia said, this has to stop. We women need to also experience the male energy.
Very true, very
and so,
true.
When you do the postures, they also require strength, which is the using your muscles.
Mm-hmm.
You also require the flexibility so that you are then bringing about that balance of your feminine and masculine aspects of your life in a very beautiful way.
I'm going to go to the opposite end of the rainbow. How about our senior population?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, for the senior, there is different kinds of yoga now that are done with props, with chairs. They use chairs and make it very easy for certain poses to be customized to meet their needs.
Very good.
Yes.
So, in other words, holding onto a chair or sitting
yes.
in the chair?
Holding onto a chair, sitting on a chair, depending on the pose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is one of the poses in yoga called downward dog. Well, for a senior, that person can use the chair and then use the elongation of the spine by holding onto the chair and having that support. And so that's, you know, those are the variations that can be used for seniors at this point.
Would you call it chair yoga?
Chair yoga, yeah. And actually, there are different studios that are that specialize in that. And I know that here in Tempe, there is the Southwest Institute of Healing that has different kind of classes to be able to meet different kinds of populations.
I'm thinking how wonderful it would be if you, in your spare moments, could introduce this to some of the elder care homes.
Yeah.
Would that not be awesome?
That would be really nice. That definitely would be a wonderful way of doing it. And right now, my specialty really is mainly on teaching the Kriya Yoga techniques as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, individual yoga, trying to reach that individual population like that, it takes a lot of time and a different direction, you know.
Yes.
I'm not
we can let the hatha yoga people do
right
that.
Now because I don't want to put too many things on my plate and then not being able to
do any of them well.
Yeah. Mm. I feel overwhelmed. So I like to prioritize what is most important for me and then be able to share that accordingly.
Let me ask you about children doing yoga. I hear that there are some classrooms that they're teaching children yoga.
Absolutely, absolutely. There is, actually, children love yoga. And I did have the opportunity to go to Mount Madonna in Monterey, California. It is being directed by a guru called Baba Hari Das, and he specializes in teaching teachers how to teach children. And it is like a small community, and it is amazing, amazing what I was able to see those children being able to achieve when they start doing yoga at a very young age.
And it's like a game to them, is it not?
It is. And he is able to teach them how to also develop the power of their mind so that they can, in their yoga, because remember, mm-hmm. yoga is not just the physical, it's the mental, the emotional,
mm-hmm.
the spiritual. So when you start combining all of those in a very mindful way, especially for a young child who is so open, it is amazing what they are able to achieve. It was very impressive. Yeah.
So. And so let me go down a step lower. How about babies?
I haven't heard about babies. I have heard of mothers doing yoga with their babies.
Maybe that's what it is. It was mama and baby yoga that I heard about, and I was really intrigued.
That is very, very good. Also, there is yoga postures, especially for women who are pregnant. And I did yoga when I was pregnant with Melinda.
Ah, very
and,
good.
And I did the breathing techniques, and she actually came at 7 months, and the doctor said to me, you know, when you have a small baby like that, chances are that she probably will be in an incubator for about a week. Well, would you believe she was only in the incubator for half a day?
Oh, is that
not
wonderful?
And that was because I really believe that my breathing techniques helped to also develop her cellular level much faster. And so, therefore, she did not have her lung. She didn't have trouble breathing. Her lungs were, you know, almost fully developed.
So I can see there should be yoga for mamas to be.
Oh, yeah, and there are classes. I know that Desert Song in Phoenix, 7th Street, and Camelback, they have also a great studio with wonderful classes for pregnant women, for babies and mothers. And also, there is another beautiful studio here, Inner Vision Yoga in Tempe, that also teaches different kinds of, a different variety of yoga as well. So there are different studios, and people who really would like to experience, they can start checking different studios and see which one will fit best for them. Because, you know, we all have different kinds of physical challenges, and we will find a particular yoga that will really say, yes, this is it. This is it for me.
You know, that's probably a really good idea. Try out a lot. Go once to, you know, a lot of different types of yoga studios and see what, as you said, see what resonates with you, what you're comfortable with. And then there are probably levels or steps.
Yes,
where you stay so long in one and think, you know, I need more, and would move to another one.
Exactly. And I think the Hatha Yoga, which is the physical yoga, is the entrance to say, it comes a point where the student says, there's got to be more to this physical than just this asanas. And that's when I believe they are touched by their spiritual masters, because we all have spiritual masters guiding us, and when that happens, they are going to be guided into how they can continue their spiritual evolution or transformation at a higher level of consciousness. You know, and that's where the practice of breathing, the practice of meditation, and the practice of Hatha Yoga comes into place. That's where you really begin consciously with the awareness to begin to align that and to begin to align all those bodies. Yeah.
That is really beautiful. I was reading a book on, actually I think it was one of the books that you had at your place. You have so many wonderful books on yoga. And it said, and I jotted this down, the path of Kriya Yoga is a master key for transforming human society. That's a pretty big statement. How do you see that working?
Well, and the reason for that, as I mentioned before, is because Kriya Yoga touches not only the physical, but also the emotional, the mental, the intellectual, and the spiritual part of our beingness. Whereas if you just go to do the Hatha Yoga, only your body, you're just becoming aware of your body, okay? If you go to just going to a class of meditation, you're just stimulating that part of your body, the mind. And if you incorporate a little bit of breath, then you begin to open up a little. Although, you know, in our society, we have been taught how to use our mental powers very effectively. But nobody teaches us what we do with our emotional body. So we don't know what to do with our emotions, with our anger, with our resentment, with our sadness. And so when we don't know what to do with these emotions, then we begin to suppress them. And we suppress them. Where do they go? They go into our subconscious mind. And those are the basis of how we begin to develop our own personality, our own value system. And so if we begin to change and release all that emotional garbage that we have been able to collect throughout the years, we begin to feel or feel the light, the love within us.
The word emotional garbage was really really telling, because
we end up accumulating, and we do it on a very unconscious level.
Of course.
So the beginning of our spiritual transformation or awakening is when we begin to become aware. Aware of what is coming up from our subconscious mind. What is it that is driving us to this anger, to this resentment, to this disconnectedness, to this suffering? And what it is the fact that we have been unconsciously being accumulating, like I said before. And Patanjali, one of the masters that wrote the Yoga Sutras, which are like spiritual scriptures, says in one of them, yoga is the process of cleansing the movements arising from the subconscious mind. If we begin to allow, not only through the formulas help us a great deal, but when we consciously begin to then take part of that process, it becomes very powerful, because then the cleansing begins, and then the alignment of our own true nature begins to take place. We let go of our false identification that has been part of our own human development, and we begin to integrate our true nature. And when we begin to integrate our true nature, that's when we find that connectedness within us that is God, that is love, that is light, that is joy. But not until, and it is a process, because we have to do it on a daily basis. We have to continue to cleanse that subconscious mind on a daily basis. And so it is a very rewarding journey once you have some kind of tools by which to do that with.
You talked about letting go of the negative in our work. We see that all of the negatives that you are thinking, and not even saying, but just having in your mind, as you just mentioned, are causing the body to go acid, and an acid body is toxic, and that's where all disease lives. So you are, as we do with our water formulas and neutralize them, you are neutralizing in a different way.
Absolutely. And, you know, it reminds me of this beautiful phrase from the miracle, Course of Miracles, that says, a mind at war with itself remembers not eternal gentleness.
and I think that's beautiful.
So we are, even if we want to be, you know, if we want to be at peace, if there is all this garbage that is blocking that light within us, we cannot. Mm-hmm. We have to find a way by which to cleanse what is going on inside of us, and that is a process, and it can and the techniques, the breathing techniques and the meditation techniques, definitely help in that process, and also getting help. Because if we have had so many very dramatic experiences in our lives, and we are afraid to look at them because they are going to be bringing more suffering, mm-hmm. You know, there is a saying, when we let go of, when we get in touch with our pain, we stop suffering.
That's a big thought.
Getting in touch with inside of us, mm-hmm. we stop suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or there's another one, there's a book called Feelings Buried Alive Never Die.
I know that book.
You know, and mm-hmm. so we need to learn how to let go of that. That's a very critical part of our spiritual transformation. We cannot think that we are being on a spiritual journey if we are unconscious of what is happening inside of us. And like I said, the first step towards spiritual transformation is being aware, becoming aware, and letting go of what doesn't serve us and bringing into our life what it is that will make a difference.
I was going to ask you a question. Do some people Do they shy away from this because they think it's religious?
Yes, that's a very good question, and I am so happy that you brought that in. Yes, not only they shy away for two reasons. One, because they believe that it's religious, and secondly, because they believe there are many even spiritual traditions that say, you know what, this is our guru, and you cannot do any. You cannot be identifying with anybody else but this guru, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You should actually, in Self-Realization Fellowship, Kriya Yoga was founded by Paramahansa Yogananda, whose teacher was initiated by Babaji Nagaraj, which are names that also don't mean anything. But this tradition of Self-Realization Fellowship that has has now been divided. One is now a religious one because they believe that the only way you can get to heaven is through your guru Paramahansa Yogananda, and that is far from the truth, you know. And then the other one has taken the journey of the spiritual path, which is Ananda, and Ananda is in California. And so in this tradition, there are no jealous gurus.
Very good. You know, I understand.
It's just that divine energy that is coming from them is already within us. We are already God. You know, God lives within us, and we have manifested Him. They say God lives within me and manifests Himself through me. You know, or that divine energy lives within me and manifests itself through me. It is, you know, we are manifesting that God-like, that spiritual, that love within each one of us. We are touching each other because we are all divinely connected. We are all a piece of God. We are all God's divine creation. You know, and that's when we feel connectedness, we feel joy. When we feel disconnected, that's we begin to suffer because we are allowing ego to disconnect us. And ego, the way that I heard Wayne Dyer describe ego is etching God out. When we etch God out of our lives.
I like that. Wait a minute. I'm going to write that down. Ego is etching God out.
Uh-huh. It is a delight for the ego. The more we suffer, the more we disconnected we are, the happier we make our ego, which is based on our true self. So the minute that we begin to find tools, ways by which to begin to remember that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, that we are divinely guided and connected, that we are part of that light and that joy and that love, all of a sudden there is that feeling from within coming in that is based on real bliss, on real peace. Because we're always looking for happiness in the wrong places.
That sounds like a good name for a book. Or is it a song?
Yeah, right.
I think
but
so.
But it is true. We are always thinking that when we have that big car, it's going to make us happy, or that big house, or when we really find that soulmate, and we don't realize that soulmates are really the one of the most powerful teachers in our lives.
And you have had some of those experiences, haven't you?
Oh, yes. I have had them. And, you know, my background is in I have my master's in counseling psychology. So throughout this process, I've learned to begin to cleanse all these movements arising from the subconscious mind. And I've done it through my studying, going to school, and also through my spiritual practice. And really and truly, I can tell you that I am now 65 years old, and I have really found a lot of how to live my life connected, and finding that peace. And when I have moments when I am not there, the awareness comes in, and that's the beauty of it. Because then I say, yeah, I am. My ego is trying to move me this way, but now I am aligned with the divine. And then all of a sudden, I feel that connectedness and that joy again. And so that is, we are never going to be able to get rid of that ego because it's part of our own human journey. But we can learn to tame it. We can learn to embrace it and recognize it and then gently move it away and realign with who we are. And so that's the beauty of our own journey, is to begin to remember, because when we are first born, we are totally connected with the divine. You know, even babies have a little opening in their crown. And then we begin to forget our own connectedness with the divine and begin to absorb our own humanity. And it comes a point in life that we say, wait a minute, there's got to be more to life. All this drama and all these things that are happening are ways by which we have to remember who we are, or we need to remember who we are. And if we then begin to remember that we are spiritual beings, and this is part of our human learning, that then we begin to choose love rather than fear. We begin to choose peace rather than hate. And all of that is part of our own transformational journey to prepare us to go back home again.
That's a thought. That is a big thought. And I love it. You know, time flies when you're having so much fun.
Sorry, I took over too much.
And, oh, this is wonderful. And it has been very enlightening to me, because I thought I knew a little bit. I knew I didn't know anything before I went to your weekend.
You know, Carol, you always amaze me. You're just one of the most beautiful beings and humble souls I have known. And it is, to me, such a privilege, an honor to know you and to be able to have your presence in my life at this time.
Well, you are so sweet to say that, Alma, and that's the ditto for me. And I wanted to ask you, but we've run out of time. I wanted to ask you if you had stories of people that you had taught that had benefited from this and how. And I really wanted to do that, but I see that we're so close, within minutes of the end, that we won't do that, but maybe we can get you back another time.
Absolutely.
You probably have an hour worth of stories.
You know, the main thing is that it is an internal journey. It's an internal experience. And what people do with these techniques is up to them to either use them and make them work for them or just let them go. And a lot of them have let them go, and others have participated and are on their path. And it's always such a joy to see them be joyful and continue on with their journey.
And what I am fascinated with is that this yoga tradition that started out as a hippie youth pursuit, I believe, I don't know how many years ago in America, that now I understand that 18 million Americans are using it for stress relief,
yes,
for rejuvenation, for enhanced sports performance, for camaraderie, and it has so many benefits. And you've brought that out today to us, and I'm so pleased to have had I'm so pleased to have you here so that you can share that with all of our listeners tonight. And so thank you, Alma, for being a part of our evening performance, and maybe we can get your stories another time.
Thank you, and thank you for this great opportunity.
Would you like to leave a phone number for us, just in case someone might like to experience the weekend that I did, or perhaps your new thought of having just an introduction to yoga?
Yes, absolutely. I am going to leave my phone, my home phone, which is 480-838-4075.
And do you have a website?
You know what? I am in the process of putting that together.
Okay. And
but,
so
if you go to Babaji Kriya Yoga.
Forget that one.
Okay. Never mind. Okay. So, sorry about the website. But
the phone number will do.
Give us home phone. I'll be happy to return your call and answer any other questions you may have. And thank you for this opportunity again, Carol.
You're very welcome. Would you please give your phone number one more time?
Okay. 480-838-4075.
Thank you so very much. And bless you on your journey.
Thank you, and bless you and yours.
Thank you, my dear.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Ask the Experts, a teleseminar sponsored by Altwaters Technology in partnership with Energy Medicine Foundation. Our networking team of like-minded businesses and organizations can be found online at altwaters.com. Just click on the networking icon. And in closing, I'd like to personally thank you, our listeners, for joining us this evening. If you've enjoyed the show and would like to share your experience with friends or family, you can order the CD of the show for just $10 by calling 602-996-9753. That's 602-996-9753. This is Carol Kepler, your host, wrapping up another amazing evening of learning. We hope you'll join us again next month and tell a friend. Blessings until we meet again.